Welcome to the Cutting Edge Christian Watchman Program, The Divided Kingdom for January 20th. This is Lou Caraveli. Elizabeth Covert Caraveli and I are bringing you this program that can be heard on these listening venues, WWCR.com, and their worldwide shortwave, LibertyWorks Radio Network, that's LWRN.net, Global Star, and you can hear us right after Hawk Show. Have you checked out the Hawk lately? If not, you should. It's not just Steve Quayle that was a victim of attempted assassination, but recently, the Hawk was very nearly done in by a helicopter-based energy beam as he stood outside. It hit one side, his body's right side. God directed him to quickly run into the garage, so he did. By the next day, his blood pressure, having soared incredibly high, it was determined he had had a stroke. Hawk needs your prayers. So keep those prayers coming for him. And, by the way, the last listening venue for our program is KStarTalkRadio.com. You should check out the other wonderful programs on KStarTalkRadio.com. Zeitgeist, Antichrist, Spirit of the Age, The Reprobate Mind Rampages.
Yes, and this Zeitgeist that we're referring to is part of the title of a new book, and it's by Thomas R. Horn. This new book is called Zeitgeist 2025. And as we went to come on the air, our producer, Todd Waite, informed us that the UK has done away with all vaccine mandates. This is terrific news, but it also means we have to keep our eyes open and we have to keep up prayer more than ever. We don't just want to see a false dawn. And when we get into this, American Babylon is really what we have often called it. But according to Thomas R. Horn in this book, and in a very powerful DVD, Belly of the Beast, that Lou and I saw last year put out by him, America has roots that are extremely diabolical, and the plan is unfolding. So this long book, and again, the title is Zeitgeist, Zeitgeist 2025. It's a long book, more than 300 pages, listeners. And when I'm talking to you, listeners, I have to say welcome back to a listener, Buzz. We're glad you're back with us after not hearing us for a long time. And we have another new listener who was quoting Smedley Butler. General Smedley Butler, who would not go along with the globalists to bring a coup to America. We are glad you're a new listener, and we thank those listeners who are struggling too, but they are sacrificially helping us to stay on the air. And we now do have WWCR secured for February, but we are going to need more money for Global Star Communications and for renewing the smartphone that we must depend upon to do this program. And there are other expenses that we have, too. So if any of you can help us, we do respectfully ask you to send some checks made out to Global Star Communication, or if you prefer, WWCR, or if you can send some cash. Cash would be very helpful at this time. And we now have received about three listeners' postal stamps. So we're pretty good for a couple weeks on that. But we thank you so much. And you can send anything that you want to Lou Caverly, L-O-U-C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And Bethlehem is spelled capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And we might be a small program, but God is mighty, and He is using all of you listeners with your prayers ascending to heaven. He is going to possibly break the dam on this horrible, this horrific child killing murder from the COVID-19 shots, the injuries, and the child trafficking of the globalists that Alex Jones and others have struggled for decades to get this dam broken. So back to this book. I must thank you in advance for anything you will do to help us stay on air. Because since Lou's job was cut in April of 2020, that's almost 2 years ago, we've been struggling just to survive and pay our own bills. Okay, so this book, I'm saying, Zeitgeist 2025, is more than 300 pages. And some parts of it, some chapters, I literally skipped. A whole big chapter on big tech and what it's doing. We all know that. That's old news to us. A big chapter about Hunter Biden's laptop. However, some of that chapter began to feed into some of the essential parts of this book. A history about this child molesting business, this pedophilia, going back, he exposes, to the Reagan years. Yes, I heard Alex Jones tell about call boys being brought in at midnight to the White House during the George W. Bush years. That was not good. But do you know that it's documented that in the summer of one of the Reagan years, twice, at least twice, maybe three times, the call boys were brought into the White House. So as Thomas Horn says, this evil crosses party lines. That's for sure. So you'll get to hear some very, rather read, some very riveting essential things. Now, the real heart of why I want you to buy this book, if you can, and we have no connection with Thomas Horn. We've never talked to him. We've never met him. But I hope those of you who can't afford it without strain and struggle, who are very interested in this, it basically comes under the part of the secret destiny of America, as Freemason head Manley, the Freemasonry head. I'm going to have trouble.
Manley P. Hall, I think.
Yes, Manley P.
And
Hall.
And there was another guy too.
Yes, there were others.
His name escapes me.
Well, he was the one, I think, maybe who was in touch with Mazzini, probably, to get that idea of the Third World War. And we have to keep watching.
Yeah.
We've heard other reports, too, that there are some Spetsnets, and those are hidden Russian troops and preparing things. There's some stuff going on, possibly. I think we heard some of this from Hawk, too, going on down in Tennessee. And then there's some up by the Great Lakes. They're finding some things that possibly are being pre-staged, like some helicopters. But that's another story. But you have to keep your eyes open, because the globalists are always trying to make war happen with Russia or with maybe even China. But they're really crazy if they do that one. So at any rate, this secret destiny of America and how it was laid out by the Freemason founders at the Capitol, in the construction of that building, and in the layout of the D.C. streets. Some of you have known about some of this, I think, for a long time, the owl and the pentagram and so forth and so on. But according to Thomas Horn, we might be nearing the tribulation. And, I mean, within a couple years, the Great Tribulation. And so it's interesting reading. Now, let me just tell you how we bought the book for $20 from Southwest Radio Church Ministries, and their telephone number was 1-800-652-1144. Again, that's 1-800-652-1144. And then Lou went online, and he found that you can also get it at I can't read my writing. Oh, yes, Prophecy Watchers, it is, .com. And there is a phone number for them, too, 1-888-722-0008. An odd number there, so many digits. 1-888-722-0008. And at that same phone number, that same place, that website, prophecywatchers.com, I think it's a plural. Do you remember, Lou?
I believe it is. Just try it both ways if
yes.
You try that, with and without the S, until
yes.
You get it.
And the Belly of the Beast DVD is available there. If you buy no other DVD this year, buy it. We're hearing things coming out, secret things from the base, the so-called base in Antarctica. And this has a lot of that, plus it shows you down in the belly of the beast, in the Capitol building, all the demonic things that are set up. Now, a preview of some more bombshell nuggets from Thomas Horn's book. Here we are. Some of the key ones about the founding fathers. And I would have to say first that I, Elizabeth Cuffett Caverly, in the 1990s, read, probably it was in Globe or maybe the National Enquirer, but it was beyond shocking stuff. It was info about Benjamin Franklin. And now in this book by Thomas Horn, he really lays out the documentation. Here it was. And I believe that the full story appeared in the Sunday Times of Britain. And so actually, it was February 11th, 1998, the Sunday Times reported the bodies of six children and four adults dug up from Benjamin Franklin's home at 36 Craven Street. Yes, dear listeners, does God sometimes telegraph a warning message about darkness and evil through a name? Did you remember what it was again? It was 36 Craven Street. Also, perhaps he telegraphs righteousness in a personal name's meaning, too. Horn, in this book, Zeitgeist 2025, tells an amazing story in regard to the meaning of Daniel's name. God is my judge, and that's Daniel of the Bible. The book was worth buying just to read that part, too. Anyway, at 36 Craven Street, renovation going on revealed these bones were 200 years old, at least. And they were put there at about the time Franklin lived in London, from first 1757 to 1762, and then again 1764 to 1775. And most of the bones showed signs of having been sawed and, dissected, cut. And I think they were charred, too. But one skull had been drilled with several holes. Yes, and later reports told charred animal bones were found as well.
Elizabeth, it is well documented that Franklin was a member of the Hellfire Society, or club. This occult group was established by Francis Dashwood, a member of Parliament, and close buddy of Ben Franklin. The Hellfire Club was known for its orgies and attacks on traditional Christian religion. Involvement in the occult and parties with prostitutes was the norm. Allegedly, the superior order of 12 members was involved in satanic worship. These rituals include human sacrifice, as a charred bone remains at 36 Craven Street might suggest. Elizabeth's books, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, and Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails, came out in 2004. Dr. Stan Monteith carried the books for sale at Radio Liberty. When John Stadmiller of RBN asked Elizabeth to come on the air, and the Divided Kingdom was born. A listener from Southwest Pennsylvania wrote us. We met Harry in person, and a long, treasured friendship began until his passing about 6 years ago now. Harry said, quote, "You're new to being on shortwave. Shortwave listeners are different from other listeners."
And how? We've discovered through the years Harry was really right. You out there are part of what Patriot Nurse calls the 5% of people who are awake and are not taken in and subjugated by the mainstream brainwashing and to believe tyrannical lies. And Harry also pointed out his bombshell about his hometown. And I think, Lou, do you have more about that?
I do, yes.
Yes, let's get into that.
Yes, Harry once told us information that parallels the bombshell findings from excavations at Benjamin Franklin's old residence. A few miles from his house, that is Harry's house, Harry pointed out a 200-plus-year-old red brick home that sits alone on a hill. This house, Harry informed us, though it is now a simple, harmless-looking bed and breakfast inn, was once the long ago main Masonic meeting hall. And this is a quote from Harry. Whispers, rumors were always floating down the hill that on the top floor of that house, human sacrifice was taking place.
And I point out, Lou, that Harry said in the barbershops, wherever people were, it's like the urban rumors, but this was suburbia. This was rural rumors, but these rumors were there. And Harry was a pretty old guy. I think maybe he was 70-something when he passed away. So he had heard about this, probably some of his parents or relatives in their lifetimes. These rumors came down that hill. And that's a very creepy-looking house, even to this day, isn't it?
Yes, it's fixed up, but it has that air of something a little bit strange.
Yes. Could continue about this.
How many other such small-town sites of former Masonic sacrifice rites exist all over America?
Well, Harry also pointed out that the hometown near him was still a stronghold for Freemasonry, with most judges and lawyers there being Freemasons. We smile when we remember also how Lou was temporarily lost in an adjoining town. And we were in the shopping center, and Lou was sort of quickly turning this way and that way. And suddenly, he turned a new direction, and there, right ahead of us, stood the sinister-looking Masonic Hall right across the street. It seemed to spring out, glower at us. It reminds me also that I was very saddened one time to see the picture in my hometown newspaper of a man who, as a youth, a younger teen, had helped me when I was directing a church Christmas play. The young man had done all the lighting, and actually he's a distant relative of mine, but now, in later years, there was his picture. He was standing wearing the Freemason regalia of a high degree leader, and he certainly looked different from the young man that I knew. In Zeitgeist 2025, Thomas Horn exposed a great deal that you must know about this secret Freemasonic goal for America that's headquartered right down there at the Capitol. And again, you can get it at one place is the SWRC, 1-800-652-1144. And if we can go back again to give you the other site, it is prophecywatchers.com. And the phone is 1-888-722-0008. I'm not going to say this book is flawless because he has a guest chapter by someone, and it's very well written, too. But she does quote one of the new Bible versions, and you know, that sticks in our craw. We don't like that. But nothing on earth is completely perfect, and anything like that, it's minor compared to what he does on earth about these early so-called Christian founders. And so now we must get back to some of that a little bit more. I'm just looking here for a moment. I'd like to continue a little bit more about these founders. We really have to awaken to know that many things we believe, listeners, are lies. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, the events of 9/11, really the inside job, and now the gargantuan COVID clot shot cover-up of a world genocide program. More of the truth that Horn exposes in his book includes Thomas Paine's virulent anti-Jesus stance and written statement that our Savior, quote, was a blasphemous fake. John Adams, September 3rd, 1816, wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson with these chilling to any Christian words, quote, I almost shudder at the thought of alluding to the most fatal example of the abuses of grief which the history of mankind has perceived, the cross. The abuses of grief which the history of mankind has preserved, the cross. That's an important change, preserved. consider what calamities that engine of grief has produced. Didn't that shock you out of your gourd, Lou?
It most certainly did.
I told you, whatever book we have extolling John Adams, there was a big autobiography of him.
Biography, rather, yes.
It wouldn't be autobiography. A couple years ago, we probably have it somewhere in this treasure trove of books.
Yes.
It's going to the dump as soon as we find it. Thomas Jefferson, and some of you out there already know how he cut and pasted what he wanted out of the Bible, of Jesus's words in this story, his own redacted version. And we know what the Bible says about anyone who adds to or changes the Bible. It's not a good destiny for them. And so this is what he said about the book of Revelation, January 17th, 1825, in a letter to General Alexander Smythe. It is between 50 and 60 years since I read it, and I then considered it as merely the ravings of a maniac, no more worthy nor capable of explanation than the incoherences of our own nightly dreams. Now, you might think, well, I don't have to buy the book. Elizabeth told me everything. Oh, I didn't begin to tell you everything. I said to Lou, I came up, he had already gone to bed when I came to the end, and I said, oh, my goodness. I feel like the time in about 2001 when we first woke up to the world, New World Order. We had just watched the Prophecy Club's video at that time of Colonel Jim Ammerman. He was the chaplain to the Army. And it was the imminent takeover of the USA. So I believe that we need to be awake, that this awful plan, if it isn't thwarted by God Almighty, who will hear your prayers, our prayers, he will listen. He may overturn and foil this rampage that's leading directly to bringing in the Great Reset. Well, anyway, this is no dream here that we're living in. In 2022, with this COVID death scheme and the quarantines planned. So, actually, Thomas Horn thinks that by 2025, something will be very significant. He even gets into the asteroid coming, maybe. NASA originally said in 2029. So, this may be prefiguring the Great Tribulation. And then again, it may not. Because of our prayers, going to Jesus, to God Almighty, for more time to repent. So anyway, we are going to get into our program, Zeitgeist, Antichrist Spirit of the Age, The Reprobate Mind Rampages, Part 1, Child Sacrifice to Clot Shots and Vaccine Tyranny.
And Elizabeth has already mentioned that bombshell DVD called The Belly of the Beast. And once again, we'll give that phone number for the prophecywatchers.com in case you wanted to get it by phone. I believe it's $24.95 the last time I checked. And it is a documentary that explores what is really going on at the secret base at Antarctica. And there's been some news on that just recently. That you can find, I believe it was at Natural News.
I think so. And now let's go right to the first part of the rampaging reprobate mind.
And once again, that phone number where you can get various books by Tom Horn and these DVDs and books we've been talking about is 1-888-722-0008. And now, this is indeed a spiritual war, Satan fighting God for power over the universe. And these next two articles illustrate the reprobate mind on a rampage better than anything I could say. The first article shows institutional satanic evil. The second shows the individual whose conscience is seared. This first one is from the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft, January 17th this year. Minnesota now offering $200 gift cards to families to get their 5 to 11-year-olds vaccinated. The state of Minnesota is now offering $200 gift cards to families per child to get their 5 to 11-year-olds vaccinated with the experimental COVID vaccines. children have a 99.995% chance of surviving COVID-19. And that means without any vaccine, I'll add. In the UK, there's only a 2 in a million chance the disease will be fatal in children. They have a much greater chance of drowning. And I'll interject that Hoff mentions that even within the nefarious CDC, and this is back to the article, a panel raised concerns over vaccine-induced myocarditis in children ages 5 to 11 who received the vaccine back in December. KSTP.com reported, quote, a new incentive has been announced in an effort to get more children fully vaccinated against COVID-19 in Minnesota. On Tuesday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz said families who get their 5 to 11-year-old children fully vaccinated in January and February can get a $200 Visa gift card per child. However, in order to be eligible for the gift cards, the first and second doses must be administered between January 1st and February 28th. Officials say families are able to receive one gift card for each eligible child who is vaccinated in that time frame. And then they give the times they can go and so forth and so on.
Lou,
to register.
This blood money, we also heard yesterday at Brighteon.com that there are a number of big corporations taking out life insurance policies on their people, their workers, and then you see if COVID kills them, they collect. We have a lot of corporate blood money, and we have, as you're going to be showing us there, the individual evil. But pick up this story of that corporate evil in Minnesota.
Okay, that pretty well concluded that one. So now we'll switch to the individual case. This is also from the Gateway Pundit by Christina Layla. It was published January 7th this year. The title, Houston Mother Charged After Stuffing COVID-Positive 13-Year-Old Child in the Trunk of the Car.
Now, I have to interrupt. Remember our title, Zeitgeist. It's what that means is the spirit of the age. An Antichrist spirit, what could represent it more than this woman, what she did? And we contrast that with that doctor in Pennsylvania who's keeping us posted after he took a righteous stand not to take the COVID shots. He may be getting a part-time job, so please continue to uphold him in your prayers that God will help him and bring him into financial well-being. Go ahead. Give us that headline again.
Yes, and I'll just interject, too. Pray for others like that good doctor.
Yes,
in those,
exactly.
That kind of a position.
Yes, now give us the headline.
Yes, the headline says, Houston mother charged after stuffing COVID-positive 13-year-old child in trunk of car to, quote, prevent herself from getting exposed to virus, unquote. Again, this was from the Gateway Pundit. A warrant was issued for a Houston mother who stuffed a COVID-positive teenager in the trunk of her car to, and this is the quote, prevent herself from getting exposed to the China virus. 42-year-old Sarah Beam was at a COVID testing site on January 3rd when officials learned her teen child was in the trunk of the car. According to charging documents, Beam put a child in the trunk to prevent herself from being exposed to COVID. Beam is now facing child endangerment charges. Fox News reported that Beam is a teacher. And I'll just interject. I hope I have never worked with any teachers like that.
I echo that.
So anyway, she's a teacher at Cypress Fairbanks Independent School District and was placed on administrative leave. Fox 26 Houston reported this. The Harris County District Attorney's Office has charged the mother Friday after her teenage son was allegedly found in the trunk of her car. Details are limited, but according to the DA's office, Sarah Beam, 42, was at a COVID-19 testing site at Pridgen Stadium on Falcon Road on January 3rd when officials were alerted her teenage child, 13, was in the car's trunk. According to charging documents, Beam said her child was in the trunk because they had previously tested positive for COVID-19 and as a result wanted to, quote, prevent herself from getting exposed to possible COVID while driving the child to the stadium for additional testing, unquote. Records also state an official witness with Cypress Fairbanks ISD requested to see the child, and that Bean, quote, would not be receiving COVID testing until the child would be removed from the trunk of the vehicle and placed in the back seat of the vehicle, unquote. The witness also called the police shortly thereafter, but when she returned, found the 13-year-old to be in the back seat. During the investigation, surveillance footage corroborated the moment the child, who was reportedly unharmed, got out of the trunk and got on the passenger's side back seat of the car. And this is Lou. The reprobate mind will never stop rampaging till there is repentance and a return to Jesus Christ.
Lou, the ultimate rampage of this devil mind is seen in the horrendous child sacrifice of even the youngest innocent little ones ritually murdered by the planners of the COVID-19 vaccine euthanasia. Daily Telegraph, New Zealand, and this is Auckland, Tuesday, January 18, 2022. They killed my boy, Aussie boy dead after COVID jab. Facebook removes dad's posts. Daily Telegraph. A 7-year-old boy has died in Australia from a massive heart attack hours after receiving the COVID jab. In a concerted effort to silence the grieving father's voice, Facebook has deleted his posts on at least 4 occasions. The boy's mother is currently in hospital suffering from shock. A screenshot of the father, Steve Leary, his post, has been circulated on social media before it was permanently removed. The rollout of the experimental mRNA injection for children in Australia began this month. Daily Telegraph New Zealand is aware of other Australian children who have died from the medication or suffered severe adverse reactions, and we will be bringing you their stories in due course. Facebook post of Steve Leary. Hi, everyone. I'm not sure how long my post will last, as I've had it removed 4 times already. The disgusting, inhumane Facebook fact-checkers and our corrupt government will not allow my comment to stay up. Everyone, I lost my son, Lachlan, last Wednesday to the vaccine. He was 7 years old. He had been unwell on Wednesday night with a fever, and we monitored him closely. 6 a.m. the next morning, he started having breathing difficulties, so we took him to Westmead Hospital. They tried to stop us going in with him, but it did not work, as I threatened to contact Rebel News and have a reporter there within minutes, and they backed off. We were allowed in. 4 hours passed after many tests. He was sent home 5 hours later. Friday morning at 4 a.m., we heard him yell out. He was on his bedroom floor. He was not breathing. My wife and I began CPR. I called the AMBO on loudspeaker. AMBO arrived within 7 minutes. My son passed away in the ambulance. He had a massive heart attack. My wife is now hospitalized in Westmead Hospital, heavily sedated. I am trying to hold everything together for our 2-year-old daughter, Sammy. The government has ruined my family. They have taken away our only son. We put our trust in the government to keep us safe, and they killed my boy. I have been banned from Twitter, posts deleted on my Facebook page, and warnings issued on community standards. So the death of my beautiful boy is being censored. I have taken the time this afternoon to email Prime Minister, PM, and have demanded an immediate explanation. My message to parents now is, do not allow these people to touch your kids. I have been abused for allowing my son to be vaccinated. But as parents, we thought we were keeping him safe. We have to live with this for the rest of our lives. Please, please don't let your babies be subjected to this. I can't bring my boy back, and my family is now broken, while our PM lives the high life of luxury, probably.
70-year-old girl has stroke and brain hemorrhage 7 days after Pfizer COVID-19 shot. This was December 3rd, 2021, by Brian Shilhavy, who is the editor of Health Impact News. A man in Pennsylvania has reported that his niece, Harper, was taken to the ICU recently due to having a stroke and hemorrhaging in her brain 7 days after receiving a Pfizer COVID-19 shot. The uncle, Barry Gouin, does not refer to the shot she received as a vaccine, but as a lethal injection that is, quote, pure evil, unquote. suggesting that he might have a different opinion about the Pfizer shots for children than perhaps his brother does, the father of Harper. At one point, he posted an update along with a short video stating that Harper was beginning to walk again. But in a subsequent comment, he appeared to be reporting that she had lapsed again and was not, quote, eating, drinking, sitting up, or walking, unquote, according to his brother. I'm afraid that this is what is going to take, this is what it is going to take to bring these COVID-19 lethal injection casualties in children to the public. Family members and friends cannot just sit by and watch this happen, especially if the parents are reluctant to go public with their child's COVID-19, quote-unquote, vaccine injuries and deaths, as most assuredly the majority of them will be pressured to keep quiet about this as they deal with their own guilt and shame. Not a single governor of either a red or blue state has stepped in to stop these bioweapons from being injected into children, even though they have the power to do so. So they are complicit with these injuries and murders. As unaware parents take their children in to get injected and be abused with these shots, do not let the blood of these innocent children, whose parents are foolishly sacrificing their children to the vaccine gods, stain your hands with blood. Let the public know what is going on, letting this evil see the light of day and not hiding in the darkness. Another article, 5-year-old died 4 days after Pfizer shot, CDC VAERS data show. VAERS data released today by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention included a total of 927,740 reports of adverse events from all age groups following COVID vaccines, including 19,532 deaths and 146,720 serious injuries between December 14, 2020 and November 26, 2021. And this is Lou again interjecting. We emphasize that VAERS is estimated to only report 1%, then 20,000 deaths becoming
yes,
reality.
Yes, and Lou, I think we reported before, or I said on air this was 20,000 deaths in the U.S., but I believe this is worldwide. Because some foreign reports go into VAERS. And so this is where you computed that if we only have 1% being reported to VAERS, you went with 100 times that 20,000, and what did you get?
We get 2 million, and this is an astounding number, but I would not be a bit surprised if it wasn't right. Now, I have one more continuation of that. Megan Redshaw, and this is Children's Health Defense, reported, currently in VAERS for children under 12, or the reports are currently in VAERS for children under 12, that they are due to, quote, product administered to patient of inappropriate age, unquote.
And we think that might have been during some of the trials going on.
That could
before,
well be.
Before 5 to 11-year-olds were... given the approval.
Yes. During a meeting on October 26th by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's vaccine panel, Dr. Jessica Rose, a viral immunologist and biologist, said tens of thousands of reports have been submitted to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System for children ages 0 to 18, and that 60 children have died, 23 of them were under 2 years old. She said, quote, it is disturbing to note that product administered to patients of inappropriate age was filed 5,510 times in this age group. Two children were inappropriately injected, presumably by a trained medical professional, and subsequently died. This is malfeasance.
And yes, Lou, another article with Megan Redshaw from Children's Health Defense had a headline, 7-year-old dies 11 days after Pfizer shot, VAERS report shows. And I think there was a little more data in here. We may have to abbreviate some of this because we have so much to get to tonight. The most recent death involves a 7-year-old girl And there's even an ID number, a 1975356 from Minnesota, who died 11 days after receiving her first dose of Pfizer's COVID vaccine when she was found unresponsive by her mother and an autopsy was pending. Now, there were other reports, too, but all of these cases practically were attributed to Pfizer. I think, Lou, you have something there to pick up. Now.
I do. We have another article by Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit, dated January 7th. Tragic. 14-year-old Israeli-American girl suffers and dies from COVID vaccine. She makes a video of her story 5 days before her death. Sarah Jessica Blattner, a 14-year-old Israeli-American girl with an underlying health condition, died in her sleep on October 12th, reportedly from a heart attack, after receiving one dose of the Pfizer vaccine 5 months earlier. Her parents decided to finally speak out 3 months after her death and urged the public not to vaccinate their kids.
And we will have to abbreviate that report, and we'll move on to another headline. Tragic. Double-vaxxed 13-year-old dies from unexplained cardiac arrest. Now, this is right up to date. This is January 7th from naturalnews.com. And this was a 13-year-old boy from New Jersey, and he suddenly died from a heart attack on January 4th, 2022, just 7 months after his second COVID shot. And his mother, Jennifer O'Drain, shows him on a Facebook post on June 6th, 2021, giving a thumbs up from a doctor's office, along with a caption, "Sec shot done." Yes, the second shot is done. And we fast forward less than 7 months, and Jennifer's husband, Trent, wrote in a now-deleted Facebook post, "Dear family and friends, our son Jack had an unexplained cardiac arrest on New Year's Eve shortly after the ball dropped while playing with his friends. He is on life support at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia." The father continued, "Days later, Jack tragically passed away." And he did all kinds of outstanding things in music, outdoors, hiking. What a loss. Now let's move. What is the headline of your next one, Lou?
3-year-old girl dies of heart attack 1 day after taking COVID vaccine.
I think we better hear more about that.
That was from Great Game India, January 6th, 2022. Another girl dies of heart attack caused by the vaccine that has now been made into a mandate, even upon children who are under zero threat or getting severe reactions. The girl's parents are quite devastated and have taken to the media to express their grief. According to her mother, a 3-year-old girl in Argentina died of a heart attack the day after taking the COVID vaccine that was mandatory for her just to start kindergarten. Miriam Suarez told Talifa Tucuman that the vaccine and legislative compulsion killed her child, Ambar, who had previously been healthy and full of life. The mother said, "I pre-enrolled her in school so that next year she would enter kindergarten, because now they force you when it comes to the vaccine. She was healthy. She was fine. She was not ill and didn't have COVID."
And, Lou, these must be massive tears rolling down the face of God at these little ones. And we have to move right on. A big battering ram against the reprobate Antichrist mind, the Zeitgeist cover-up, maybe as Dr. Peter McCullough, WorldNet Daily, reports that he, on the Joe Rogan podcast, drew more than 40 million views. And he, of course, told that we are now in complete free fall, he said, referring to the record number of COVID-19 cases. As officials acknowledge, the vaccines don't prevent infection or transmission. With that, I think that's it. I think that's the end. The narrative has crumbled. People don't want these vaccines, McCullough said. The vaccines should be pulled off the market. They clearly are not solving the problem. And we must move right on now, because we're really at the, the big battle. We're in the big battle now. Will it be stopped? And, of course, if the U.K. has moved in the right direction, we applaud them, and we want America to do the same. But we must point out some of these dangers that are still here. They aren't going away without lots of prayer and action. So Italy imposes more COVID fascism on citizens, says they must get vaccinated to work and enjoy public life. people over age 50 who live in Italy are now being told they must get vaccinated in order to continue living. The country's green pass obligations have also expanded to basically make public life for the unvaccinated a thing of the past, with left-wing leaders proudly bragging about how they planned all along to make Italy the first country in the European Union to force the injections on citizens. According to the Italian government, 89.41% of the population over 12 years of age is now vaccinated, leaving about 10% who have not taken the shots. This should be enough for herd immunity, but the government is not satisfied. So they go on to talk about the Prime Minister and the Minister of Public Administration, and Draghi is the Prime Minister. He says, we want to slow down the growth of the contagion curve and push Italians who still aren't vaccinated to do so. Italy's new super green pass is required to do pretty much everything. Draghi has repeatedly blamed his country's continued COVID problems on the unvaccinated, even though they make up a very small percentage of the population. And we now must get to the heart of what they're going to have to do. Even so, Italians must get every injection ordered of them by their government, or else they will not be granted a super green pass, which reports indicate is now required to do pretty much anything. Quote, the unvaccinated cannot enter restaurants and bars, cinemas and theaters, swimming pools, gyms, changing rooms, team sports stadiums, sport halls, museums and exhibitions, wellness centers, spas, cultural centers, and social and recreational centers. It's also being reported that the Super Green Pass is necessary to go to amusement parks, game rooms, betting rooms, bingo halls, and casinos, as well as hotels and all accommodation facilities, wedding parties, religious ceremonies, festivals, fairs, and ski lifts. Starting on February 15th, both public and private sector workers in Italy will also need to show proof of injection or recent recovery in order to access their workplaces. That's pretty bad. We have to abbreviate that, but you must know that this is going on. Let me see. I think as we look at this, Lou, what do you have in the headline, the next headline?
The next headline is 120 children hospitalized. Province suspends Pfizer vaccine batch.
And where was this again?
This was in Vietnam.
Okay. So we can see this injury going on everywhere. And then my next contribution here to you is something we heard again, I think, on the StuPetersShow.com. A pilot named Greg Pearson went into heart defibrillation just hours after taking the COVID shot. And he's now on disability. He cannot fly. And he reports, now this is very troubling, but we're warning you not to fly if you can help it, that many pilots are still going to work while they're sick. And so can you imagine? They're fearful of losing their jobs. But can you imagine? These may be time bombs where these people pass out. They die in air, as we know the Delta pilot did, even though it was covered up by Delta Airlines themselves. So Greg Pearson reported something interesting, too, that the Webster Dictionary has changed the definition of a vaccine. And I said to you, Lou, my goodness, every institution in the world is going bad in this takeover of Satan. I think we have to move to some of the danger. Let me see. What do you have next?
I have one here that sounds like that. Militarization of America's healthcare infrastructure is rapidly accelerating.
Oh, yes, this is very important.
This was from Natural News, and it was written by J.D. Hayes, January 17th, just a couple days ago. The American deep state, in cahoots with the globalists the world over, decided at the outset of the COVID-19 outbreak to use the pandemic to advance their tyrannical agendas, and they have been marching towards them with alarming speed ever since. One of the objectives has always been gaining complete control over the U.S. healthcare system, a process that began in 2009 when then-President Barack Obama and majority Democrats introduced the misnamed Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, which was an attempt to federalize nearly all medical care in the country and give bureaucrats the authority to make life-or-death decisions regarding American health. Obamacare survived several legal challenges challenges and was literally declared constitutional by U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, who invented language in the law to claim the individual mandate was a tax, even when Obama says that it wasn't. The individual mandate was repealed during Donald Trump's first year in office after it was inserted into a major tax reform bill. Nevertheless, the march to control U.S. health care continues, and again, the powers that be are using COVID as the platform. Now even moving to militarize how we receive our care, as Reuters is reporting. And this is from Reuters. Another 1,000 military health care workers or health workers are deploying to six U.S. states to help hospitals overwhelmed by a surge in Omicron-related COVID-19 cases, the White House said on Thursday. The teams of between 7 and 25 military doctors, nurses, and other personnel will begin arriving in Michigan, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Ohio, and Rhode Island next week to support emergency rooms and allow hospital staff to continue with other care, a White House official said. And here's a quote. The number one request continues to be staffing. Federal Emergency Management Agency Administrator Deanne Criswell told propaganda outlet CNN, while going on to say that additional states will also need military and federal medical reinforcements in order to deal with the pandemic, as the Omicron variant, which is far less serious, by the way, continues to spread. The Biden regime has been deploying federal surge teams, that's in quotes, federal surge teams, since July, ostensibly to help local hospitals battle COVID illnesses. In December, Biden ordered Defense Secretary Austin to prepare 1,000 more, quote, medical forces, unquote, and to send them to Arizona, Indiana, Michigan, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Wisconsin. In reality, all Biden has to do is exempt medical personnel from his illegal vaccine mandate, and hospitals will instantly have enough staff to deal with whatever influx of patients there is.
Yes, that would be the good scenario, but the intent is satanic. So we have to move on also. WorldNet Daily, January 15th, reports quietly and over some objections, National Digital Vaccine Card has emerged. And I wrote about this at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell others to go to our website. And they can go to our listening archives and hear these important programs. Get this life-saving information out. Please, please pray about alerting others. We want this program to grow. November 12th, 2021, my essay was Things That Lie in Wait, November Emergency Alert 1, VCI Smart Health Card, Tracks from Cradle to Grave. And that's under Breaking News if you go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. The new article says, whether they realize it or not, about 200 million people in the United States now likely have access to a COVID-19 digital vaccine card. The digital pass, known as a smart health card, is voluntary and minimal by design to protect personal information. It has a person's name, date of birth, and the dates and brands of vaccination doses, all contained within a type of scannable barcode known as a QR code. And after a relatively quiet start, it has built momentum in recent months as more states and companies have signed on, making it something of a de facto national digital vaccine card. And I'm going to quote from my article. Longtime conservative journalist Michelle Malkin spoke out on an interview with Stu Peters. I'm giving you a little background here about this vaccine tracking reality. And now I'm going into my article. Governors are not telling you how the smart card is coming into the private sector, reveals Malkin. The smart health card is now approved in 5 states and countless counties. Malkin points out there are taxpayers and parents who have no idea the system has been introduced. It's been in the works for years. Malkin explains there is a consortium of big tech, big pharma, and companies, including Microsoft and Oracle, and institutions, including Boston Children's Hospital. This, quote, wolf in sheep's clothes masquerades as a private, nonprofit consortium, but it has plenty of federal funding behind it. Malkin designates the Vaccine Credential Initiative as the linchpin, VCI, for this new unprecedented surveillance system. The VCI, she explains, is how the smart health card is making the entire tracking and tracing system interoperable. And according to her research, this system's tentacles are already deeply embedded in many of America's county health agencies and schools. Yes, parents especially have been electrified to learn the smart health card is in their school. These parents are showing up at school board meetings. Malkin says it is imperative that these parents and all local residents must demand answers from their county health departments. She concludes with this grave alert. Look at Singapore as the example, which initiated a health card and a tracking system. VCI and a smart health card are a way of turning ordinary citizens and individuals, and certainly any children, into lifelong QR codes from cradle to grave. We must save ourselves now. And we wish that we had 20 more hours of radio to warn you about things. But these things are sort of still there, and we will keep tracking these things. There was some kind of a patent that I think probably it's a worldwide patent, and this was an app system, you see, that could use the social credit score business. And to determine the individual's score, this patent suggested a person's profession, medical data, nature and type of locations they visit, their frequently visited locations, the length of time they spend at these locations. This would all be in the calculation. People who go to religious or secular events, they might get a higher score for their involvement in contact events than those who do not engage in such activities. See, look how this thing could be skewed against Christians, against dissidents. There's a lot going on. Hardly anybody standing up. But we know that those given to the Lord Jesus by repentance and remorse and acceptance of his salvation, they're going to fight. Lou, very quickly, finally, a few Republicans have edged out of their apathy. Tell what's happening, because it's a national disgrace for the people to be held down in that evil belly of the beast capital, those people from January 6th. Give us what you can.
Yes, in the Washington Times, more than a dozen Republican lawmakers, led by Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and Texas's Louie Gohmert, are demanding that a D.C. jail deputy warden be fired over what they call the mistreatment of January 6th Capitol riot detainees.
And in that article, I believe it tells they're housed separately from some other people, and they claim they have pretty good conditions. But we know that that man from Pennsylvania, Ryan, was blinded in one eye by the torture of the guard.
That's right. Yes,
but exactly. Can you quickly name a few of those representatives who went? We know that Andy Harris did from Maryland. Do you see that on the second page? I think.
Well,
maybe.
They joined them in a letter. Matt Gaetz of Florida, Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, Bob Good, Andy Harris, Ralph Norman, Mary Miller, Barry Moore, Tom Tiffany, Lauren Boebert, and Scott Perry.
What was that one, Tiffany? What was that name?
Let's see. Tom Tiffany. It was
Tom Tiffany. All right. So if you heard your representative, you ought to congratulate him or her. We must do everything we can to encourage the stopping of this tyranny. We don't want to be in the camps. Of course we don't want to be there. God doesn't want it. So if you are listening to The Divided Kingdom, tell others to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. God bless you. Good night.